number 655.
Scripture reading will come from Exodus 34, 5 through 7. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation.
Good evening, or morning, evening, morning. It's still evening, apparently. I had a late night last night. We went hunting, me and Leon, and I killed a deer. First time. So it was a buck. And it was a spike, but, you know, get the camera real close, you know, enlarge the horns, enlarge the whole body. Might as well be the most big buck that you've ever seen. So that was a great time. I haven't been hunting since I was probably 11 or 12, so that was really fun. I know Thomas was encouraged. That funeral, there was basically people going out the door. When I showed up, I couldn't even get a seat, basically. I mean, every single seat was full. People were literally going out the door. There were so many people. I know Jeff was able to get a seat, but I think I had to sit in the back somewhere. So, yeah, I know they were encouraged. The Willis family and Thomas was encouraged. And they were loved, and as well the minister from Mount Vernon Church of Christ, and then as well the Monette Church of Christ were there, so I got to meet them as well. So a lot of good happened there, a lot of good fellowship. But talking today about the attributes of God, the things that we as well ourselves as Christians should exemplify. We just read there a lot of different things that God Himself does have, that He Himself exemplifies throughout the Scriptures. How He exemplifies mercy, graciousness, long-suffering, all these different things. He's just good in general. He's truthful in everything that He does. There's no lie that God can do, no lie in God whatsoever. So the question to us is, do we know how good our God truly is? And of course, if we know how good our God truly is, then we as well should know how good we should be. So how good are we? If we know how good God is, how good Jesus was on this earth, how they live, then are we that same way? Are we living that same way? Do we exemplify them and show them in our lives? God is the most perfect being in all of existence. He has no faults. God can't make a mistake. You look at every prophecy in the Old Testament, just as we talked about in the Minor Prophets. Every single one of them are fulfilled. Every one of them. In some way, shape, or form, they're always fulfilled. Even sometimes in multiple different ways, they're fulfilled. We talked about things like dual prophecies. So you could be talking about the time of Christ, the time of the church, and then it could also be talking about things of history back in the Old Testament. Everything God does is perfect. He knows what's going to happen in the future. He knows what's happened in the past. He knows what's going to happen now, all the time, what's happening now. So God is perfect in everything that He does, everything that He is. He's omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-everywhere. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. There is no wrong that God can do. And of course, He can't sin. He can take no part with evil whatsoever. So we read there in Exodus 34:6 that God is merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. And many other things there that we can read about God just in those few verses. But first, we're going to take a look at the Old Testament, and then we're going to take a look at the New Testament. So let's go back to the Old Testament. And since we're already there, let's turn to chapter 33. Chapter 33 there, read about what God gave Israel. Chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have, brought out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." Verse 3. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. That was Exodus 33, 1 through 3. God gave Israel a blessing, and that blessing was the blessing of Canaan. No matter how many times Israel had sinned, and we talked about how Israel, right after getting out of Egypt, right after crossing the Red Sea, as is in the book of Exodus, right after they did that, the first thing they did almost was build a calf and worship either another god or God in a way that was profane. Whenever God told them not to, whenever obviously they knew not to, they were not to build, obviously, idols. Those were things that were known in the law of God. You don't worship an idol, you don't build a calf, a thing of gold, a thing of any kind of clay or anything like that, and pray your hands and worship that. You worship rather God, and you pray to God in heaven. He's spiritual. They knew these things, but of course they did what was wrong anyways. And even Aaron himself, the high priest, who would be the high priest, participated in that. But God nonetheless was forgiving. He nonetheless was long-suffering. He was merciful, and He still forgave them. And He allowed them to enter into that land of Canaan that He prepared for them after they, of course, would repent many, 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 many times. There are so many different times of sin that Israel went through in that wilderness wandering period. When they were constantly wandering in the wilderness because they kept sinning so many times. But there is one thing I want you to understand. The group of people, the generation that was guilty of all those sins in the wilderness wanderings, as we read in the book of Exodus, all those people, how they sinned all those different times. Did they go into the land of Canaan? No, they did not, actually. It would be the generation after them that went into the land of Canaan. And why is that? Because God wanted to show something. God wanted to show that sin doesn't lead to reward. Sin leads to death. And sin leads to not having the reward. And ultimately, He did show that through them. So the attributes of God, they are merciful. They are gracious. They are long-suffering. But God wants to show us that there's a cutoff. There's a cutoff whenever you choose sin. When you choose evil, God's not going to be with you anymore. God's going to be away from you. You're going to be cut off from God. And of course, Israel chose that many times. And that wicked generation, the stiff-necked people, as He kept calling them throughout the Old Testament there, of course, He would not be with them during those times of sin. And they would have to repent. But think about how many times God allowed them to repent. I've asked this question before, but are we still sitting here today? Yeah, we're still sitting here today in these pews. We're still sitting here today living our lives with choice, with freedom. We're sitting here today in the United States of America after thousands and thousands of years that God has put up with mankind, the belligerent behavior of mankind, the sinful behavior of mankind that they've chose to go in, and the fact that how mankind has most of the time gone into sin rather than chose to obey God. God still puts up with that, even today, after all this time. Presumably the earth is, what, 6,000, 8,000 years old. And God's put up with man all that time. All that time. The attributes of God, merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. How does God show these traits in the New Testament? Well, we can certainly look all across the Old Testament, but time doesn't permit for this morning lesson. We can look all across the Old Testament and look at all these different times of blessing and of repentance after a group of people would repent and God would bless them. And the mercy and the long-suffering just keeps on going with God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. Let's turn there together. That's Luke 6, 36. Luke 6, 36. Read with me. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. I want you to read back in verse 35. Beloved, your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. You think God was kind to the unthankful and evil of the Old Testament, the people back then, the Israelites? Yeah, He was. Was Jesus kind to the unthankful and the evil? I'd say He was. He gave His life for the unthankful and the evil. Jesus gave His life. Jesus showed an unconditional love that we also, Christians, I might remind you, should be showing. And I remind myself, should be showing an unconditional love. A love that doesn't require something at first. God always gives that. Because He loved us first, we love Him. That is our God. That is an attribute of God, a beautiful attribute. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 7. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. As we go about these attributes and keep looking at them, I want you to relate these to yourself. As we look at these attributes, I want you to look at into yourself personally. I want you to think about, am I really showing this in my life? And not just showing this, but am I living this even for my own soul's sake? Am I living as God would want me to live? Ephesians 1:7, let's read it together. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through Christ countless times. His blood continuously cleanses us, as the book of Hebrews says, after we repent every single time. This is a constant thing that happens. Jesus' perfect sacrifice allows us to be completely clean of sin. And God just continually forgives. Forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. And you know what Jesus says? Forgive somebody 70 times 7. How often do we practice that? How often do we love our enemies? How often do we love someone who irritates us and annoys us and who literally is just trying to do it on purpose? How often do we actually just love that person in return? Do you realize that's how God behaves? That's how God lives? That's how He does things. He loves the person who irritates Him. He loves the person who annoys Him. You think Jesus was annoyed when He was teaching people? I'm annoyed when I'm teaching people because I can't get people to listen sometimes. You think Jesus was annoyed? Yeah. Of course He was annoyed. The message of God is clear. The attributes of God are clear. The Christian must live these attributes and must live according to that message. Be always obeying, as we talked about Wednesday. Always obeying so that God can even use you for His good will and His good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 2, since we're there. Let's read 4 through 8. Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, verse 5, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Even when we were dead in trespasses, Christians, how many times have we sinned? Let's just have a real moment. How many times have we sinned in our lives? I'm not asking for anyone to say anything. How many times have we been guilty of sin? Every one of us. Romans 3:23, we've all sinned, haven't we? How many times have we prayed to God for forgiveness? Does He forgive you every single time? Yeah, He does forgive you every single time. You know that Jesus also wants you to have that same type of forgiveness? God wants you to have that same type of behavior? That He wants you to love your enemies? To do good to those who hate you? Do good to those who don't please you, don't do what you want. He wants you to do good to those people who irritate you. The peace of God, the love of God, is beyond our human understanding. It's so beyond. We cannot have a love better than the love of God. There is none. Christians, do you show this attribute of God in your lives, this attribute of mercy, this attribute of graciousness, this attribute of long-suffering as God showed it to man? Romans 2:4. Let's read it. A lot of good verses we're going to keep reading here, so get your hands ready to flip to some verses. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness? Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God is long-suffering. Again and again in the Old Testament and the New Testament, He shows this. He doesn't just say it, but God shows this. God was long-suffering in sending Jesus on the cross. God was long-suffering in having Jesus suffer at the hands of mankind, God Himself. The Father was long-suffering in sending Him, John 3:16. He was long-suffering. So we should be long-suffering as well, shouldn't we? We should show this attribute of God. Now let's move on to this next group of attributes. Goodness and truth. Exodus 34:6. We talked about there. But in 1 Chronicles 16, we're going to turn there together. 1 Chronicles 16:34. I want you to see these things for yourselves. 1 Corinthians 6, or Chronicles rather, 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. In a general way, how many times throughout the Psalms, how many times throughout the Chronicles, how many times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament does it say God is good? You think God proves that He is good? Yeah, He proved that He is good. That in everything that He does, it's always truth. It's not lies. When God says He's going to do something, He does it. There's no lie with God. There's no evil with God. God is good, and He is truthful in everything that He does. Psalm 145 and verse 9. I want you to keep reading all these different passages with me. We're going to be flipping a lot. Psalm 145 and verse 9. says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies over all His works." And if we go back to verse 8, we read what we just talked about. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. We saw this with Jesus on the cross. We saw this with the prophets in the Old Testament. As we'll talk about tonight with the judges, God, whenever Israel would go into transgressions, when they go into sin, who would He send? He would always send a deliverer. He would always send someone to help. He would always send someone to bring the people back spiritually. Why did He do that? When the people were profaning His worship, profaning His temple, His tabernacle, when the people were committing sexual immorality at the doorstep of the tabernacle of God in the Old Testament, when they were doing that right at the doorstep, priests themselves doing that. You remember that? Those were priests. When they were doing that there, nonetheless, God would always send a deliverer. God would always send someone, a Savior, as we talked about today in class. A Savior to help those people come back to God. Because why? God loves those people. Even though they're committing sin right in front of His face, in the worst way that they could, God still loves them. That is a God of love. That is a God of good, a God of truth, a God of mercy, compassion, graciousness, everything you can think of there that's good. That's what God shows. No matter what people do, no matter what sins they commit, God still wants them to be saved. Always. All the time. No matter what you've done in your life, I don't care what it is. He doesn't care what it is. You can still come to repentance. A murderer who's committed 1,000 murders can come to repentance. Do you realize that? Do you realize that even someone as wicked maybe as Adolf Hitler could come to repentance? Do you know that? He could come to repentance. Yeah, He could. Because Jesus can forgive us of any sin. Remember Paul? He said, "I'm the chief of sinners." He was the example, man. Paul is the example. You realize what that guy was doing? He was taking Christians, our brethren who are in paradise right now, and killing them, like Stephen in Acts 7. He was killing them. Killing them in the streets, having people stone them, inciting them to riot against Christians. Bringing them out of their homes, from their children, bringing parents from their children, bringing children away from them, converting them to Judaism, doing all these horrible things to Christians. He was responsible for that. And nonetheless, Paul still came to Christ. He still came to Christ. If you remember that conversion with Saul, with Paul, he was the chief of sinners, and Jesus would say, "I will show Paul how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And there in the book of Acts, Christians, God is long-suffering towards everyone, every single person. And Numbers 23:19 there says that God cannot lie. God is not a man. God is not someone who makes mistakes. God can't lie. Just as He couldn't in the Old Testament, He can't in the New Testament. When He says something's going to happen, when He pronounces destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah, when He pronounces destruction on every wicked person, it's going to happen. It's going to happen every single time. He's not like man. God never lies. He is only truth. Mark 10:18. Let's turn there together. Mark 10:18. We saw those traits of goodness and truth in the Old Testament, how they were pronouncing that of God in the Old Testament from different writers of different backgrounds, of different languages. Now let's go to the New Testament and look at some passages. Mark 10:18 says there, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.'" Jesus Himself. Only God is good. What does that mean? Does that mean that we can't be good? No, that's not what that means. What that means is that God is perfect. Perfect in everything, no matter what He does. He shows and lives goodness to the fullest at all times, 24/7. And God wants us to live up to that standard. There's a standard that God has given, and He wants us to follow it. He wants us to live to that standard. He calls us as people to live to that standard. He called Israel to live to that standard. And He calls the church to live to that standard of heaven, that standard of God. And how often do we choose to live it? Do we choose to live it Tuesday or Sunday only, or Monday or Wednesday? Or do we choose to live it the whole week, 24/7? When do we choose God? When? Do we choose God only when it's convenient to us? I hope not. God chooses you not when it's convenient to Him. God chooses you 24/7. He chooses you every day. Do you realize it's a personal relationship with you and God? You may think you're the smallest thing on earth. You may think, what am I? What am I compared to God? What am I compared to all these 8 billion people on earth? What am I? How is God going to see me? You may be an ant compared to God. I think I'm an ant compared to God. Think about how small we are compared to someone who can go beyond the universe, God. But nonetheless, God cares for you and is compassionate and sent His Son to even live among men, to help the poor, the people in the streets that nobody looks at, nobody tends to. God showed an example that He cares for everyone, that He looks at everyone, He takes care of everyone. He is good. Our God is good. No one is better than God. We make mistakes, and we all need God. All of us. John 14:6. Let's talk about how He is truth. John 14:6. We know the I ams of Jesus. The I ams of Jesus. Well, this one here says in John 14:6, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" If you think about truth, truth is something that doesn't have fake. Truth is something that doesn't have lies. Truth is something that is not wrong. Truth is something that is fully really what it means. The truth. It's something that doesn't have wrongs. Jesus exemplified truth in everything that He did and showed. Do we? When we say we're going to do something, do we do it? When we live in our daily lives and we're supposed to be living to God, do we actually do it? Let's read John 17 as well. Keep throwing some verses. John 17:17. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Very short verse, but your word is truth. What that means there is that the word is the truth. Ultimately, it's like that verse, "No one is good except God." Man can't give you the truth. Man can't. Acts 4:12, "No one can give you salvation except Jesus." Man can't give you salvation. Man can't give you the truth. You know what can? It's right here, and God made it for you. God made it for us. This right here can tell you how to be saved. How often do you pick it up and read it? How often do we pick this Bible up and read it? Focus on it. Focus on the words that it has to say. Focus on the attributes of God and live it. Christians, Acts 17:10 through 11, when it talks about the Bereans searching the Scriptures daily, that shouldn't have just been the Bereans. I'm also guilty of not searching the Scriptures daily. Every one of us are. But do you realize how much more you would grow in Scripture, in God, in His attributes, if you just picked up the Bible and read what it has to say? One of my teachers, I've told you before, he said, how silly it is that you pay me to study the Bible, because it's the greatest thing that I could be doing with my life. It's a gift. It's awesome to do as a job. I absolutely agree with that. It's an amazing thing to be a preacher and study the Bible for a living. It's a gift. It's a happiness that I can't even explain. It's awesome. It's awesome to do that. Christians, this Bible can give you the happiness that you're seeking. If you're having troubles in life, as simple as little verses. I have a Bible app on my phone. It brings up little verses every single day. It has this little verse that comes right across. New King James Version lists out the verse, has the verse reference. I look at that, and sometimes my entire day is made just by looking at a verse. That's what the Bible does. Why? Because the Bible is powerful. His Word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Separate them with your truth is what that means. We are separated with the truth. We as Christians don't have to go to people of the world. We don't have to go to counselors or whatever first. First, we can go to who? We can go to God. We can go to God. We can go to the truth. We can go to the Word. Because this Word has the power to help you. It has the power to heal you. You don't need to go to some healer. You don't need to go to some person who can predict your future. They can't. They couldn't in the Old Testament, even with the witch there. In the Old Testament, dealing with Saul, couldn't do it. She was surprised when she saw that it worked, but it was God that did it. Brought Samuel back from the dead, the prophet. It was God who did it, not the witch. She was surprised. In that account, no healer can help you on this earth. The only healer is Christ. The only healer is God. It's spiritually. It's not physical. It's not. There were miracles in the first century because of Jesus. The miracle now that is this New Testament. Because this New Testament can give you the words of life that you need in order to be saved. Now continue talking about these attributes. God is good and truthful. We'll just say a few more things. He's forgiving of iniquity and transgression, as Exodus 34:7 said. He showed these traits in the Old Testament. If we look at how David would write about God in Psalm 103 and verse 3, let's turn there. We're going to start in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Sometimes I go to the Psalms and it just lifts my entire day up. David loved God. He loved God so much. And he showed that in the Psalms that he wrote. He knew how good God was. He knew that. And he wrote about it. He lived it. He lived it when he was being hunted by King Saul. He chose to do everything God's way. And he wrote about how good God was to him. How loving he was, how forgiving, even in whenever David was king. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As you go through the Psalms, it says, praise God, basically like all the time. Praise God, give glory to God. God is good. He's deserving of that good. He has showed that all throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the patriarchal age, in the beginning of time, God showed He was good. He was truthful. Everything He's done has to be truthful. Psalm 107 and verse 1, since we're right near there, we'll read it. 107 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you keep continuing there, it talks about how the Lord redeems. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever. God shows forgiving of iniquity and transgression. He shows His good traits in the Old Testament. Does He show them in the New Testament? Yes, He does. Luke 13:3. Let's turn there. Luke 13:3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Christians, I'm not going to wait until the end. You know the point of going through the Scriptures like this? You know the point that we've been constantly going to all these different Scriptures like this? If you learn nothing else today from this lesson, know the reason why I'm doing this. The reason I'm doing this is because these Scriptures tell you who God is. These Scriptures encourage you as Christians and help you as Christians. They lift you up. They bring you back to what you should be living like. How are you living like? Are you living like Jesus? Are you living like God? God is overall perfectly righteous. He has no mistake. He has no fault. You can go to all different Psalms. You can go to all different books of the Bible. God is perfect in everything that He does. And we don't have the time to go through all that history. I wish we did. We don't right here in this morning lesson. But I'll tell you, that Christians, whenever you're going through a hard time, this Bible is your healer. Not the ink, but because it's the words of God. And God is the only thing that can save you. We talked about the Africans. They don't have much. Every time I go to Africa, I'm humbled. But those are a humble people. They don't have much. And those people are only looking to God, man. They're just looking to God all the time because they don't have that much to look forward to in this life. They got short lives, really, in Africa. They live and they get those diseases. It's horrible. It's a horrible situation to us. But those people, they're happy. Those Christians, they're happy. Why? Because they're focused on a home in heaven. They don't see it, but they're focused on a home in heaven. And they're focused on the happiness that they get from God. They feel that peace that surpasses understanding. They feel it with their brethren around them. They feel it whenever their brethren aren't around them. No matter what happens, they're okay because God is with them. Because they know the attributes of God and they exemplify them. Of course, we do too, Christians. I'm not saying we do or they do and we don't. I'm just using them as an example. But God is overall perfectly righteous. We can give many different verses, and if you're taking notes, I'll just give you a few. But Psalm 11:7 and then Malachi 4:2 are two others. I know some are taking notes. And of course, we can look at the righteousness of God in the New Testament as well. We know that our God is righteous, Christians. We don't have to do too much searching for that. We've already looked through how He's truthful and everything. He's separated from evil in all ways. God hates evil. But God does show His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. We know we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and it will be added to us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Philippians 2:5-11, Philippians 3:9, righteousness is from God. Obviously, God is the opposite of evil. God is the opposite of Satan because He chooses righteousness. The question to us today, Christians, is do we choose righteousness? Do we choose all these attributes of God that we have talked about? We can go much more in depth, but we just don't have the time. Do you show the attributes of God? Do you show the exemplified things that Christ did? Do you live as Christ did? Do we serve a good God? Yes, we do. Now, the question you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, is are we good like God is? Are we good like God is? In all these ways we talked about tonight, are we merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, forgiving of iniquity and transgression, overall, perfectly righteous? Are we that? If we're not, why? What's holding you back? What grudge are you holding in your life? Be like Christ. Be like Christ. Don't make it based on conditions to love other people. Jesus didn't. He just loved people nonetheless. And God the Father did all throughout time. Love the people nonetheless. He sent His Son and He planned it before time. Even though He knew it, we would all be guilty of sin. He planned it even beforehand. Christians, if you are struggling with sin today, if you are struggling with anything in your life, please let the Bible help you. Let the Word of God help you. This is your healer. Prayer is your healer. God ultimately is your healer, is what I'm saying. Not a man. Go to God. Go to God. Let Him be your first avenue. Your first and maybe your only avenue. But God ultimately is the one who can help you. If you have any need, please do come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus has a plan of salvation. Have you followed it? If you haven't followed it, the question is why not? Today is the day of salvation. Ask yourself why. If you've heard the Word of God today, which you have, if you've been hearing the Word of God in your life, other times, there is a truth that you need to follow. And that truth is that you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe in His Word. You must be willing to repent of sins. You must confess that Jesus is the Son of God before men if you believe it. And then be baptized, immersed into water for the remission of your sins and for salvation eternally. And then remain faithful unto death. Remain faithful unto death after baptism. You will get that crown of life. You will get that life eternal, as Jesus promises to those who love Him and follow Him, John 14:15. If you have any need today, please do come to the front as we stand and sing.
For you and me, turn these on.